science, learning, business, community. You. Welcome to Think Works, the podcast for people who like to think. Because thinking is the hardest work there is. Come with us on a journey into the world of ideas with your host, Darren Smithson.
Hello and welcome to another episode of ThinkWorks, the place where we like to do all the heavy lifting when it comes to thinking. And this week we want to talk about a little problem that affects many of us that we don't like to talk about. No, not that. We're going to talk about the paralysis of analysis. Now, a few episodes ago we talked about the whole idea of choosing progress over perfection, because perfection can hold us up from actually moving the dial in the right direction. Now, this is another issue that does the same thing, because we can get so held up with analysis and planning and looking at a problem and looking at all the research that, again, we don't move forward. Now, there's many reasons for the paralysis of analysis, as it is called. We're going to talk about that in this very quick episode, because I'm trying to record it in between some annoying dogs that keep barking every 5 seconds. And to be honest, if they don't give up, I'm going to have to go out there, find them, and give them a severe talking to. Let's just define what we mean by the paralysis of analysis. This is where you are involved in, you've got a big project coming on, or you've got a report to do, or you're writing a book. This is the key one. Usually it's when you're writing your first book. You start to analyze your research. You do the research. You analyze the plan. You look at all the pitfalls, and you get so involved in the research. You get so involved in the planning process itself. You don't necessarily start to really move things forward. And there's lots of reasons why this happens. Just to show that this problem affects anyone and everyone, including myself, regular listeners will know that I've recently finished my book, U2.0, Build Yourself Better. And I say recently because actually I finished it in the first week of July. But then I started tinkering. I wasn't quite happy with this bit. I wasn't quite happy with that bit. I wanted to do an additional chapter as well, I decided. So I went off to do a little bit of research. And I found myself now in September, and I still haven't sent the book to be published. And it suddenly occurred to me that I'm trying to make it perfect. I'm actually analysing and overanalyzing the edits. And I suddenly realised the whole beauty of the new way of publishing books is that you can, when you find an error or a mistake, you can actually edit it and then change it without really losing any money. And I thought, what am I doing? It's because I was stuck in that paralysis of analysis. I was trying to make the book perfect. People will also know that I have FND, which is a neurological issue. And while I was talking to the neurological therapist, she was going through some stuff with me and actually made the comment, you really do love the planning process, don't you? And it occurred to me that sometimes I might actually overplan instead of just getting on with the work. So when I realized that and came back to this whole paralysis of analysis thinking, I decided that maybe it's better to do an episode of the ThinkWorks podcast on the subject, not just for you guys, but to remind me as well that I need to actually make sure that I don't get stuck in a groove, which is what happens with the FND, unfortunately. So, without further ado, let's talk about some of the reasons why people get stuck analysing rather than doing. The first one is fear of failure. We all have that. We all don't want, none of us want to fail. And people worry that if we act and fail, we'll face negative consequences. Now, that is a culture problem here in the UK in particular, where we are absolutely so frightened of messing something up for fear of either being punished at work or for being ridiculed in social media, or, you know, especially if it's a public failure. What we've got to get around is the fact that at least we've tried. You've tried. Other people haven't. And if you try and fail, you've worked out one way that isn't going to work. So then you try something else and you keep trying until you succeed. If you don't try anything, you never move forward and you'll never succeed. So you've got to keep trying, and we have to get our minds around that whole idea. And if people do want to give us some kind of verbal lashing at work because we've done something and it's failed, then you need to tell them, well, then give me some direction. What is it that you need this thing to do, or what is it that you want to happen? Because they themselves will be answering to someone and they will have that same problem. So we just all need to stop, take a deep breath, and realize that actually failure isn't failure so long as we learn the lesson and we keep going forward. We mentioned perfectionism. That is definitely this belief that everything has to be perfect before starting. That holds us up so much. So we keep redoing and rehashing and changing a word here and there. No, we need to make progress our perfection. Remember that phrase? Make progress your perfection. Don't get overstuck because you're trying to make everything word perfect. We can also have overwhelm, and that means we have so many options available to us, so many different decisions to make about the same piece of work or the same project or the same problem at home, that often leads to decision paralysis because there are just so many options to look at, and it's like, which one's going to be the best one? Another reason why people sometimes get stuck in analysis is that they have a lack of confidence, so they doubt their own abilities. I'm the same. Sometimes I look at it and I think, oh, can I really do that? And it prevents you from taking the first step. We've all got to actually convince ourselves that taking any step is crucial. So even if it goes wrong, at least we've taken a step and moved forward, even if that just means we cross off a way not to do something. And then we seek certainty. So the desire to know everything before acting just leads to endless research. This is a problem I got stuck in with the two other books that I'm going to be writing after I've published You 2.0 and got all the coursework sorted out from that. I have two other books, Conspiracy and the 50-year horizon. Now, the 50-year horizon one I've been researching forever, and I realized, no, look, it's all in my head, it's all there, I just need to get it out and get the book published. So those two books I'll be doing in the new year, but I won't be doing any more research. I've got all my notes, I've got everything to quickly refer back to if I need to, but I just need to write them. So I'm hoping that I'm striking a chord with some of you guys out there who may be thinking of writing a book, who may have a project you want to do, whether it's at home or whether it's at work or in your business if you're an entrepreneur. Just do it. Stop overanalyzing and really start to work out the best way to do things by doing. So in other words, you find your way. If you've got an idea or a rough direction, just go for it. At least you'll know then if that direction or that idea is workable if it goes wrong, because you'll know that, oh no, actually, I need to do it a different way. Now, there are lots of negative outcomes of overanalyzing. We've got missed opportunities as an example. So taking too long to decide can lead to lost chances. It increases stress because you're constantly thinking and rethinking decisions, and that elevates your stress levels because you're in your head. You're not doing, you're just over-processing all the time. And daft as it sounds, it really reduces your productivity. So time spent analysing is time not actually doing. The paralysis comes back from this, having a fear of any action being taken because it leads to stagnation. And then you can have so much regret because you look back and you realise that you've missed some great opportunities. And trust me, I've been there. I look back at my life, I think, why didn't I do that then? Why didn't I actually pursue that? I actually had, for example, the ITU, which was a knowledge-based product that my company sold for free, i.e. I went into organizations and gave them a whole run-through of what the big IT companies were doing, both from a technological point of view, but also some scientific endeavors that they were working on. And that was for free, but on the back of it, we never failed to get business because they were, the companies involved really appreciated the fact that we looked like a company that knew what we were doing, and so we got service contracts from it. And I didn't really package it up. I didn't really think about it beyond the work I was doing for the company. But I was doing knowledge-based selling before knowledge-based selling was even a thing. When I look back at that and I think, oh, if only I'd have thought about that properly. Just do rather than overthink, because there are several positive outcomes of taking action. One is learning and growth. So acting allows for real-world learning and self-improvement. So if you're doing it and you make a mistake, you learn from that mistake, you do it again, you don't make that mistake, and you move on and make another mistake, probably. But you're still moving on. That's the critical thing here. We've got to get over this fear of making mistakes. It creates momentum, so taking action creates a positive feedback loop that encourages more action, because when you do get things right, especially, and you're moving on step by step and everything's going well, you really start to get this sense of, I'm really moving forward now, and it's like a runaway train. You keep going, you want to do more, you want more success, you want to keep delivering and crossing off your to-do list. If you're still managing your life by a to-do list, it's great just crossing them off the list. I'm sure you'll agree. It creates new opportunities if you don't get stuck, that is, in the over-analysis, because it engages you in activities that open doors that analysis alone cannot. It builds your confidence. Successfully completing tasks does, trust me, build your self-assurance. It boosts that confidence so much that you want to then tackle the next problem, because you know you've already done some problem solving, or you've delivered against some really hard, difficult projects. And that actually means that when you come to the next one, you're much more self-assured about tackling it. And it also gives you a sense of being able to innovate. Because if you have trial and error, it can actually lead to breakthroughs that analysis might miss on its own. So again, the process of actually doing will reveal things that the analysis couldn't do. It's all very well on paper. How many times have you heard people say, on paper, this should work? But then when you actually start to do it, it's the same with football teams. On paper, that team should have beaten, should have walked that game. But that's on paper. The reality can often be so much different. So we've talked about why people get stuck, we've talked about the negative outcomes of getting stuck, and we've talked about the positive outcomes of actually taking action. Let's now have a look at how you can identify when you're getting stuck in the paralysis of analysis. Key indicators include, number one, repeatedly researching, always looking for more information without actually making a decision. Postponing tasks is number two, constantly delaying action in favour of just a little bit more planning. I'm guilty of that one in particular, because I do like the planning process. I love actually being able to lay out what I want to do this week, this quarter, this year. I usually do it in the reverse order. So what do I want to do in the year? What do I want to do by the quarter? What do I want to do by the month? What do I need to do this week? That's great. But sometimes I can just sit there for hours just planning, and I need to remind myself that actually, yes, it's great to plan, but just get on with it. There comes a moment where you've just got to say, right, that's enough planning. Let's just get on with what I've got here right now. The third way to spot whether or not you're getting stuck into this paralysis mode is if you're constantly seeking opinions. So if you're continuously asking others for input and you never feel ready, this is because you are overanalyzing again the situation, the problem, the project, the piece of work, the book that you want to produce or take action on. Again, set yourself a limit about how many different opinions you will ask for, and don't go beyond that limit. It's always good to get a second opinion, I agree, and sometimes a third opinion might also be necessary, but beyond that, just literally really consider, why are you asking for yet another opinion? And if it isn't because you're stuck between two different opinions and you want a third one just to balance it out, then you need to really seriously question why you're seeking that. So how do you break out of analysis mode then? Well, it's really, there's five steps actually that I would recommend that you take. The first one is you set a time limit. So you allocate specific time for the analysis, and then you have to decide what you're going to do once that time limit is up. In fact, I would actually recommend you set a time limit, schedule a time for the actual analysis, and then you schedule a time for when you're going to make a decision. You actually put it in the book. This is when I'm going to stop analyzing and make a decision. If it's in your book, scheduled in, it becomes something your brain thinks, right, it's time now. I've got that fire break, I need to actually make a decision and then get on with the action that I've decided to take. The second thing is, please, and go back to the choose progress over perfection episode that we did a few weeks ago, and embrace imperfections. Perfection is an illusion. You can never be perfect. No one can. So if you're trying to be perfect, you're actually telling yourself a lie. Sorry to be brutal, but you cannot be perfect. It's better to make progress your perfection. So if at the end of each day you haven't made progress because you've been stuck, you've lost opportunities and you've lost time, but you won't get back. It's better to make steps forward, even if you have to take half a step back, if that makes sense. So embrace that imperfection, accept that perfection is an illusion, and act with what you have. The third way that you can break out of analysis mode is to prioritize your tasks. So focus what's important, what's most important, I should say, and what's actionable right now. And here's a little trick for you. If you're feeling a little bit of overwhelm, do the top six pick and mix routine that I've talked about in the blogs and in other talks that I've done before, especially on goal setting and prioritization. If you're feeling overwhelmed, pick the top six actions that you need to take and do those first in order of priority. But sometimes there's a little PS attached to that. If you're feeling that you have very low energy or you're feeling a real struggle to get motivated, make the first two to three actions that you do on those six little ones that you can do very quickly, very easily, to actually create momentum for you to then tackle the bigger problems further down the list. Don't do it every day that way, because you'll find that you're still pushing back some of the big projects or big pieces of work you need to do. But certainly, we all have the Monday blues. That's a great way to get started. Do the first three actions on a Monday morning. Make them small things that you can do quickly and easily to get a little bit of momentum going, so that you then, for the rest of the day, you can tackle the big three that follow immediately after. And then on Tuesday, pick your top six most important and do those first, and so on. So prioritize your tasks. Number four, take small steps. So break the tasks into smaller, manageable parts, so you reduce overwhelm. It's that whole idea of how do you eat an elephant one bite at a time. You take small steps, break them into smaller, manageable parts, and it will help you reduce overwhelm. But here's a little hack for you. Don't break them into too many little parts, because once again, you'll feel overwhelmed because you've got too many parts looking at you, rather than just break them into nice, discrete chunks that you can tackle one at a time, but you still move everything forward. And number five, and this is a mindset thing, adopt a bias for action. So cultivate the mindset that values action over endless planning. And that goes back to the statement that I made in our discussion on choose progress over perfection, where I said making progress your perfection. And if you actually make sure that at the end of each day you have made progress, and if you haven't, you have to go back and do it, take a step forward at least, then you'll find that things are a lot happier inside your head, and in your emotional system it becomes hardwired. So then you want to do things because you're feeling less stressful and more at ease with what you are doing. So, I hope you've enjoyed that. It was a quick run through, I'm sure, but I'm trying to fit it in between the insane dogs that are barking, although oddly enough, they seem to have gone very quiet. That might have had something to do with the fact that I stuck my head out the window and actually told them to shut up. I don't know where they are, but they obviously heard me. Anyway, so as I was saying, just very quickly, don't get stuck into the over-analysis. It does lead to this paralysis of analysis. It really is an issue that affects so many different aspects of our lives, whether it's personal or professional. And if you're an entrepreneur, especially, it's your business, it's your responsibility, it becomes a real issue if you're not constantly taking action because you're afraid to, because you're faced with so many options and decisions that you might have to make. So learn those prioritization skills, set your time limits, embrace imperfection, take small steps, and adopt that mindset that says I'm an action monster, and you'll find that you actually do the analysis that you need to do and no more. And that's the key trick that we need to do. I hope you enjoyed that. I know it was a quick run through, but I just felt like we needed to tackle this whole issue of the paralysis of analysis syndrome, if you want to give it a name, I suppose. But it is important that we don't get stuck. We need to, as a people, we need to actually be moving forward, because if we're not moving forward, we're sliding backwards. We might feel we're even standing still, but you're not. If you're not moving forward, you are actually going backwards. There's no such thing as standing still, not in the modern life that we have today. Please go back and review this episode and make some notes if you need to. Also, check out in particular, the Choose Progress Over Perfection episode that I did a few episodes back, and start to cultivate that mindset that really says, do you know what? I am going to become an action monster. That's what I'm going to be. I'm going to be the person that kicks ass, takes names, and really rock and rolls. So to mix up all my metaphors, but you know exactly what I mean. Go and check out my forum as well. And if you want to make your own comments about ways that you can break out of analysis paralysis, and that is darreninform.com/thinkworksforum. There will be a post for this particular episode for you to comment on, and I'll get back to you and make my own observations on your comments and so on. Join the discussion, as they say. If you found this episode useful, if it's your first time you've encountered ThinkWorks, then also you'll find all the previous episodes are on my website, which is darreninform.com/ThinkWorks, and they're all in there. You'll be able to find them all, but also they're registered with so many different podcast platforms: iTunes, Amazon Music, Google Podcasts, and so on. So go and check it out. Revise the old ones if you wish, but I'm hoping that going forward you'll join me for the conversations that we're having. We've got some great episodes lined up, and I look forward to seeing you all very soon. Take care. Bye.
Like to find out more or join in with the conversation, our forum has a corresponding post for you to comment in. Simply go to darreninform.com/thinkworksforum and join in the fun. Or you can join the Facebook page by searching for @DarrenInform for news, tips, and other helpful strategies. The show was hosted by Darren Smithson, and the music is by Alexander Nakarada. You have been listening to ThinkWorks, the podcast for thinkers.